Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch National Satellite Radio Program. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is March 24th, 2016. With Mission Watch Live, we are warning the world as it happens. And I want to thank our listener base that is in places like Oslo, Norway, Sydney and Perth, Australia, Taiwan, if I mispronounced that, Helsinki, Finland, Valencia, Spain, West Bengal, India, New Delhi, India, Juarez, Chihuahua, Mexico City, Mexico, Calgary, and Toronto, Canada, in many, many other places across the world, as well as many cities right here in the good old USA, such as Virginia Beach, Virginia, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Washington, D.C., Aurora, Illinois, San Francisco and Oakland, California, Newark, New Jersey, as well as many, many others, and I could go on for quite some time. And, of course, in Wichita, Kansas, where our biggest group of listeners are. And you folks in Wichita that listen to me, I challenge you, to, as I do all, but especially you folks in Wichita, share these radio programs with other people. At least two or three other people share the program with if you get something out of it, and it will also help support the Wichita Mission Church and radio, which just survives on your donations. If you need help with anything after this program, call me. If you need a prayer, call me for that also. Just, if you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, while you can always find updates for the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and mailing address on our blog, now that's prophecyhour.com, but there's a lot of things over there, like our email address. So a lot of people are shy about talking on the telephone. If you want to email me your prayer request, and if you even include your mailing address, I won't send you any other solicitation, but I will, after I take that to the Mission Church and we have prayer circle at service, I'll anoint it with oil, we'll pray over it, and we'll mail it back to you. So remember those things. Our program archives can be found there. They're on the right. Scroll down. It says End Time Radio Archives. Now a prayer, and we'll get on with tonight's program. And I'm really looking forward to it. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I just pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine nor our guest's will, Father, because we really don't know how to do anything. You're the only one that knows how to do anything right, Father. So we rely on you and the spirit of Ruach HaKadosh, Father, that tonight radio will go well and what will get out will be what you want out to glorify you and not glorify us. And I ask that you give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Well, our guest tonight's been on with us many times in the past. You know, after people have heard his interviews, people went to see the land that he was led to, a land that Corey Ten Boom saw a vision of angels protecting the land. He says it's a place of refuge for the future. And after listening to him and reading what Corey Ten Boom had to say about it, I tend to really agree, because there are places of safety across the United States. And it doesn't matter whether you believe that the United States is Mystery Babylon or not Mystery Babylon. I'm not going to debate that. My point is no matter where you're at in this world, there's terrible, terrible time coming, and it's even here. Whether you want to talk about an economic collapse or whether you want to talk about the things like what's going on in Brussels, an Islamic invasion, so on and so on and so forth. There are many, many reasons to live in a place of safety, or at least have it as a secondary thing. That's proved by how many preppers are there are. Google how many preppers there are in the United States, and you'll see what I mean. But you need to prep smartly if you're being a prepper. You need to do it with the leading of our Father. That's what you need to do. Anyway, some of the people, after seeing the places that he's talked about, have even moved there. So tonight, we welcome back Kenneth Updegrove of Ark Haven Ministries. Are you there with me, Kenneth?
Yes, I am, and thank you very much, brother.
Well, you sound really good tonight. I'm glad to have you back on. And so, welcome. Well, go ahead. We're seeing to talk to each other. Okay, at the same time. Let me just say this as a lead-in. You know, we've talked in past programs about the Ozarks and where you live at. For people that haven't ever heard the program, give them a brief analysis of where you are and what we're talking about. Back to you.
Okay, well, the Ozarks are primarily in Missouri. About two-thirds of it is Missouri, about one-third of it is in Arkansas, and just a sliver of it is goes over into Oklahoma. But this is a particularly unique piece of geography. It is a huge rock, if you will, that's a couple hundred miles across, the largest one of its sort in the world. And it's, believe it or not, 100 miles deep. And so it is solid like you wouldn't believe, protecting it from earthquakes, if you will, because of that. And but because of its location in the United States, it's a couple hundred miles from the Gulf Coast and over 1,000 miles from the Atlantic or Pacific Ocean, and it's in the south. It's a southern location. So our weather is very mild here, and we have lots of rain, and it's just a naturally protected area. The Naval Department of War says that. Geologists say that, and prophetic voices have said that many times. And you mentioned the number of preppers there are in the United States. Several years ago, I heard there was 4 million, knowing that that was an underestimation. So it's probably, you know, probably double that now. But not all of those preppers are Christians, and not all of those Christians are really mature Christians who are flowing in the Holy Spirit and are getting the clarity that they need. I was told while living in Illinois that I was to move here. And then when I did come here for the first time, the Lord really began to speak to me about what was here and what was to happen here. I've been here 31 years now, but he told me, and he's told many others, that this is, if you will, the green island of survival, if you will, a island, a safe place, a refuge, that he is sending an awful lot of people to, and I've been able to assist quite a few people to get here and get situated, and it's always such a fun thing to do. I'm just so delighted. I've got everybody but my own self well situated. I do have a property, though, 2 acres, a house and 2 acres, and got neighbors. And my intentions there are to really get to know my neighbors and get into practice what I call the intentional neighbor program, where we will deliberately seek out all of our neighbors, and not very many, 6 or 8.
Right.
Somewhere out there in the dark trees. Go ahead.
Amen. I mentioned Corrie Ten Boom for a lot of folks. I just want to tell you, you should Google Corrie Ten Boom to see who she is. Or actually, you could just go to arkhavenministries.org. That's actually arkhaven.org, arkhaven.org, and you can find the testimony about her on it. You know, you mentioned being led by the Holy Spirit, and, you know, we really are hitting 100% in agreement on this. I do believe that in the time of tribulation, the time of the end, that there are going to be a lot of people that are, not only are they going to be called to be doing the Father's specific purposes, whether that's going out and creating miracles and helping others to survive in one way or another and spreading the gospel, but I believe these people are going to be protected. But they really, you know, the Holy Spirit leading it in that personal relationship is what matters. Back to you.
Yeah, so one of the things that I wanted to point out today was the book that you gave me to read, and I particularly wanted me to read the portion in there about Dimitri Dudeman and his visions. And a major point that I saw in that as I read it, because of my perspective, is that in all those dreams and visions, time after time after time, the angels were saying, and Jesus himself was saying to him, that that he will provide his protection and covering over those who are really obedient to him. One of the things I've seen in history is that millions upon millions of Christians have been killed. And so where was their protection? Well, so few Christians really seek the Holy Spirit and really seek that covering, even know how to do that, or that they should. And so I want to be a real strong encouragement to Christians to really understand this aspect of the Christian calling and covering. I wanted to read a couple in defense of Dimitri to really show you what his kind of ministry, at least I should be more honest, my kind of ministry. In Ezekiel 33, verse 6, it says, "But if the watchman sees the sword come and blows not the trumpet, and the people do not be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand." So it becomes necessary for prophetic voices to make it real clear that the enemy is approaching the wall, and the watchman does not want their blood on his hand. So as much as they don't want to hear it, as much as they protest it and badmouth him, it's his responsibility. It's not his responsibility that they listen or understand or obey. It's only his responsibility to blow the horn. And then in Amos 3, verses 6 and 7 and 8, "If a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people tremble? If a calamity occurs in the city, has not the Lord done it? Surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. A lion has roared, who will fear? The Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy?" And so, as I've said on some of your other shows, when we are quoting Bible scripture, we are foretelling, we are actually prophesying in that respect. But we can be clear that, and we can say confidently that Dimitri Dudeman was a prophet of God. And I would like to really make a point today that he said over and over that we can have protection, and yet Christians are leaving the United States because of other voices saying, because of Dimitri's vision, stating that the United States will be destroyed, that they are leaving, going to other countries. And I warn and caution that they did not get that from Dimitri. They got that from another voice. And
Let me butt in here a minute. You know what? Just a quick update. For the record, folks, you can find Dimitri Dudeman's prophecies at Hand of Help. He was a Romanian man that was suffered in prison and smuggled, was a Bible smuggler and everything, and his testimony is there. But afterwards, he was sent to America to give him a warning message that America was going to be burned up. But the point that here that we're talking about is that Dmitry Dudeman, in all his testimonies, I have never seen him say that you should leave America. And I agree totally with Kenneth, the fact that, and that's why I had him, have him on, is that some of the places that you may choose to go to, let's go with this. What country are American citizens like that right now? Where can you move that's really safe that you won't get turned on? Even though there's a lot of garbage here, leaving America, I really don't think is the option, not unless the Holy Spirit and told you or you had a vision or a dream or something specific. I don't think a mass exodus out of this country is anywhere on the table. But what is on the table is that personal relationship to be able to find a place safe here. Back to you, Ken.
Yeah, so there's so many reports of people who have left America and only to come back in a year or two because they discovered that, number one, they were a foreigner there. Number two, they can't get a job there. And not unless they're independently wealthy, they don't have any way to make a living there, to be financially secure there. The only people they would work for is if they happen to be Hispanic in the first place and have relatives out there someplace in Central or South America, that would work for them. I know of one instance where that has worked. And also, no matter, usually us gringos, we have a Spanish, we have English accent, and no matter how well we learn Spanish, we're always outsiders. So, and also, if America really goes sour, and I'm trying to think of some soft words to use, what is going to happen to these other countries?
Right.
If we turn into a third world country, they will be, what, fourth world, you know, they're really bad there. So, as my brother said, be really
right.
If you go to such countries, really know wherever the Lord sends you go, but be sure the Lord sent you. That's
yeah.
A major, major thing.
Amen. You got an example. It just came to my mind that you brought up in another program. You just said something really important. You said, make sure it's the Lord that sent you. Didn't some people came even move to the place where you're talking about it, and they completely had disasters because they really weren't supposed to be there, you think?
Yes, that has sure been the case. And I always tell people, is come and visit at least once, if not two or three times. I think I came four or five. But if you come, the Holy Spirit will confirm to you whether you are or aren't in the right place. Some people write to me and say, I'm torn between these two or these three places. And I said, go visit them all. The Lord will confirm one of them to you. But take the time to go. That's the way you really confirm these things.
Amen. Don't you agree that I think that's a huge problem with our society and, in fact, as a whole today. And, you know, or let's just downgrade that to Christians, although there's supposed to be some 82% of our nation is Christians, which is really hard to believe the way everybody acts. Or else it's Christians that don't know how to act. I don't know. But the point is, I don't believe the body of Messiah in the greater part of it, the church, is really listening to the Holy Spirit nowadays. What is your thought on that?
Yes, the Lord told me in 74 that his church wasn't listening. And he basically told me that not until things totally fall apart will a majority of the Christians wake up. And at that time, it'll be basically too late for many, many of them. But those who happen to be already in the Ozarks are very close. They have a chance, and they'll come here because they just will know instinctively to come here, if not spiritually, to come here. But even then in 74, it was really hard to understand and accept because I was so green in the Lord. That was over 40 years ago, you know.
Right.
So to hear it then, I couldn't understand what do you mean that they will come to me because they're frightened and because they're confused and desperate. And some of them will turn away from the Lord and leave the Lord because they feel they were lied to by their denomination, by their pastor or their teacher, whoever it is they look to. Others of them will feel like, well, some will leave the Lord, and others will start looking for the answer. And hopefully the Lord will lead them to people like you and me who can tell them what really happened and why it was that they completely missed the truth and what they need to do now. And my website has been up for over 20 years giving this message, and a couple hundred people a day are reading it. And that's so in that way my ministry and mission is being fulfilled. But there will be a time when there will be a when things really get bad, that those who have any notion at all what to do will at that time start coming. And hopefully I will have something in place. Hopefully you will have something in place for them.
Right. Amen. That is one of our goals. It has not went out of my prayers, is that I believe that our ministry is going to obtain some land down there, folks. But, you know, and we're not saying that you have to come to our ministry. I mean, or you have, or even Kenneth. There is land there in that specific area that, you know, and it's the area itself that looks like it's safe. But the point is if you go to Ken's site at rcaven.org, you can find a lot of that. We got about a minute before break. What can they find at your site? You got about a minute and a half.
Well, on that note, I advertise land that is ideal for preppers and homesteaders and people looking to start a Christian community. I advertise that kind of land only, and some of them are actually your listeners. So I prefer to advertise for Christians, hoping that other Christians will buy these properties. So it, to me, it is mostly a ministry, but after that, a business, if you will. I will make the money out of them.
Well, right. There's nothing wrong with it. Let me say that. There's nothing wrong with making money off of helping people to get to a safe place, let alone, you know, we need to support ourselves. We need to support our ministry. Now that's, am I correct? That's it. Arkhaven.org is their contact information over there, like to call you or send you a letter or something or email address over there?
Yes, I have a contact page. You just go to the contact page and then you can choose whether to snail mail me, email me, or call me. But I'm very much available. People call or write, and I respond in right away.
Okay, well, that's great. Well, folks, I strongly recommend that you go to arkhaven.org, arkhaven.org. You know, you may want to get a place there. Or first go down and talk to Ken, and if you make that decision to be there, it doesn't mean you have to live there all the time, secondary place. But I'm telling you, this trouble that's coming is going to overwhelm us, and it's going to overwhelm us quickly. Just like our commercial that's like in 2 seconds is overwhelming us now. So we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
we're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. We need your help for food, clothing, hats, gloves. Right now, the big need is blankets. You know, we really need blankets right now because the winter overflow closes in about, well, on the 31st is the last night. And then all the people, well, there's going to be about 300 or so people that have been struggling to stay there. And I do mean struggling because it's not controlled all that well. There's lots of problems in there. Like I have one guy that broke down and went in it here recently, and he kind of is back to me and said, well, Pastor Dan, my billfold got stolen while I was there. Can you help me get some ID? Things like that. There's a lot of thefts and things because it isn't run. Well, you know, if there's thefts inside, there's a problem, okay? And some other kinds of complaints. But I don't like to down agencies or anybody. I don't believe it's my place to sit in judgment of them. What I will say is that, you know, I find out anybody that helps the poor and the homeless, you know, is doing a good thing. But let me add this to it. You know, people come to me all the time and they say, we think that the city should be doing, you know, the city should have this problem cured. They should build a new shelter. Really? Have you ever even read the Constitution? Actually, charity in the Constitution, we don't have a right to take money from one person and give it away to another person. It's not the job of the federal government to do charity. It is the job of the body of Messiah to do that. That is means your responsibility. We are brothers keepers. We are responsible to care one for another. That's what the word says. Paul says he sold everything he had and gave it to the poor. So, and the church used to do that. But long about the time Mr. Lyndon Johnson gave the church the 501(c) thing, the welfare was started. And I'm not saying that it isn't a good thing to have a fallback welfare program, but it has turned into a monstrous thing. It's kept people out of work, created fatherless families, so on and so on and so forth. But when the church was doing charity, they were helping families stay together. They'd help the man find a job. That's what it was about, family. But now the body of Messiah, or at least the buildings they call churches, look at these mega structures that they're building with things like bowling alleys inside and so many other things. I know one that has a bowling alley and a tennis court inside. Now, you tell me where that comes into spending the Father's money, and it is. Think about it. You got to be good stewards. You give money to something that builds that and call that God's money. Where in the Bible does God say, build me a tennis court? He says, feed my poor. You know, he says, feed the hungry. Take care of the widows and orphans. Love your neighbor as yourself. He doesn't say, build a bowling alley, you know, inside my house. I mean, come on. Can you even call that a house of God? Well, I'll let you, again, be the judge of that. So pray about it, you know. We have a lot of people that come to us help. Why do so many people come to us for help? Because we're not an agency. You know, people walk in, act normal. They say, hey, you know, where's Pastor Dan? They find me. They say, I have something I need to talk to you about. We talk about it. We pray about it. If I have a way to fill the need, we fill the need. If we don't have the way to fill the need, we pray it in. We say a prayer with them. And there are so many miracle prayers that have happened there because, you know what, we're a ministry with not even what you would call a budget. We budget from my pocket. If I have it in my pocket and I can spend it, then I will spend it. That's my budget. Because I rely on the Father by faith. That's His money, not my money. And so, you know, we try to help in many different ways. And I can't even explain the many different ways that we help because it's all upon an individual's need. We are doing what the Word says. The reason we do what we do is because I want to serve my Father. I serve my Father by serving people. In fact, He told us to open this place. He kept me up all night, told me to do it, wouldn't let me rest until I didn't have much choice in the matter, until He convinced me that He wasn't going to leave me alone until I agreed to it. And I'm more than happy and satisfied that he did. Yeah, sometimes money, a lot of times money is short. Like right now, money's short. Of course it is. You know, we're still recovering from the holiday season that we went through, and we haven't put a physical newsletter out in probably 6 months. I need to do that, but I don't have the $500 extra to put it out right now. So pray about it. Anyway, folks, we are responsible to care one for another. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices donations that come from where? Your heart. You know, if you don't wish to help the poor, please consider a donation for radio airtime. Because radio airtime isn't free, and donations is what keep us on the air. Because this is a ministry, we sell nothing. I sell nothing. All I'm trying to do is to help you get ready for what's coming. Prayerfully, you'll get salvation if you don't already have it. And we're trying to keep the mission church going, something I was ordered to do by my Father. Anyway, you can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com, including an email address. And now we're back talking with Kenneth Updegrove from Ark Haven Ministries and talking about places of safety. Are you still there with me, Ken?
I sure am. I wanted to touch a base that we were at a while ago concerning Corey Tinder. It was Bill Gothard, I say his name correctly, Bill Gothard. It was his plane that she was in when she looked down and saw a ring of fire down below. And when she saw that, he asked the pilots, well, where are they? And the pilot told her and Bill Gothard where they were, which was over in northwest Arkansas. In the last couple of years, nothing less than three different people have contacted me to say, you know what, I was at a Bill Gothard conference, and I heard him tell about this. So we've got some real solid confirmation for those who are dubious or cautious about such things. Bill Gothard has said this several times at these conferences, and people come and told me, I actually heard him. So that was an important base to cover there. We've been talking about Demetri Dudeman's prophecies and visions and visitations concerning these end times and what matters specifically America. And he talks about America, major cities and major areas burning. I wanted to give some perspective that can get lost in all this. Something that I sent an alert to you and talking about the law of uniformity. Now, I've got to understand this is an invention of mine. I call it pseudoscience, but that's logical at any rate. The law of uniformity says basically that the smaller a given area is, the more uniform the damage from a fire or flood or tornado or hurricane or whatever will be. And the larger the area, the less uniform any damage can be. So let's compare an acre to a continent or a nation to the whole world. When you look at things on that size, and then you begin to realize why there can be safe areas, there can be relatively safe areas where there is a whole lot less danger or damage. And so this comes into agreement with what Biederman wanted to share with us, that God is going to protect his own. And
okay.
His own need to know where to go. They need to know his voice, be obedient to his voice, and go there. And so this is a message I keep coming back to, and I'm so grateful that Biederman's visions and prophecies and visitation confirm that to a very large degree.
Amen. The larger the area, I mean, you know, when you look at the world in a whole, you know, and you see massive things going on across the world, then what you're saying is that naturally, out of that lot, looks like the whole world is burning, so to speak. there are, the smaller the places, there are going to be places of safety. Because the Bible says people make it through to the end. How do they make it through to the end? He says, endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Well, if you can't, so therefore there has to be some place to endure at. Is that correct?
That's correct. And the book of Revelation says that there will be those living who will be alive and well at the end of the seven-year period. Some of those will be Christians who will be raptured, caught up at that time. And some will evidently, if I'm not mistaken, will be non-Christians who made it to the end, but when we'll go into the millennium, after all, the millennium, there will be, at the end of the millennium, another big revolution in which things are finally settled all together. But rather than really going into that too much, I also wanted to point out that just looking at another aspect of it, Joel Richardson, who is pretty well known now, has a book out called The Islamic Antichrist, and he says, he makes the argument that the Daniel 11 says that the Antichrist will rule over 10 Islamic nations. So by this thinking, in those 10 nations, he will have absolute control, but his control over the rest of the world will not be as uniform or absolute, but nonetheless devastating. So once again, trying to look at the probability that there will be some areas that aren't nearly as dangerous and controlled as others. And I sure wouldn't want to be in any of those Islamic nations.
Yeah, amen. But even if we're not talking, even if we take Islam or the if we take Antichrist off the table, if we look at what Revelation and other parts of the Bible says, the condition of what the world will be like by the time that he comes to power, or, you know, during that period of time, the world's going to be pretty devastated through some other things, you know. Some debate whether wormwood's an asteroid or what it is, but we have that. We have the oceans dying. We have fires. We have so many other things, calamity that's going to come upon the planet. That, you know, it's just, to me, it just doesn't seem wise that a man shouldn't be having some sort of plan for himself and his family, you know, or, you know, back to you. What do you think?
Yes, there are so many things that are attending the book of Revelation, well, all Bible prophecy that is Daniel and so on, Ezekiel, that are pointing to these end times, telling us what's going to happen. It's hard to know how to prepare. It's hard to know where to be. It's hard to know the timing of things. So that's, once again, why we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and really be able to have the Holy Spirit in us and communicating with us, leading us. So just looking at all of the fears, all the predictions, all the prophecies, however happened to maybe about what's going to happen this year, especially this fall, is enough to really make one serious. Or as we say around here, serious enough a lot. We need to be led of the Holy Spirit. We need to know what to do in these times. The notion that things will always be like they've always been, that just doesn't work. Those of us like me who are pushing 80, I'm 79. Mm-hmm. We know better. In my lifetime, there's been several wars, you know?
Several. Right. You've seen a lot.
Family's been in it. I was born at the very end of the Depression, but I lived through a dust bowl in Colorado that wasn't as bad as the one in Oklahoma, but it was terrible. It was as bad, just not as large.
Let me ask you a question. And this, I already know the answer, but for the people, of course you're married, correct? Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Your household, your wife is in unity on this, right?
Yes, absolutely. She brought us together on that.
Amen. Well, you know what? As much as, and I love your testimony, but here's what I'm going to extend to you, and I want you to take it to your wife and have her pray about it. But you know what? And for the people, because so much, we have a lot of women that listen to us, and I think it would be good to maybe, if your wife would consider coming on here, whether with you or not with you, and, you know, giving her point of view of all this so that the females that are listening out there could get a woman's perspective on all of this. What do you think about that, Ken? And I don't mean tonight.
She would love it. She would love it. She would love it.
Okay. Well, then, so you take that to her, and we'll work out a date. So you hear that, audience? We're going to bring his wife on, and we're going to talk to her about some of this and see what she has to say, just because I feel like that there needs, for you folks, there needs to be a woman's perspective on it, because there is a woman in his life. There's somebody sharing this life with him. And so, I think it would be a good thing. Back to you, Kim. What do you think?
Yes, I sure agree, and she will do a good job. My first wife of 43 years died in 2009, and just a few months, I think 6 months later after that, this lady in Texas emailed me, and it talked about special things in end-time preparation, and well, eventually it turned into a romance, and we got married. So, yes, she very much was already led in that direction and was looking for a husband to be in ministry to, that she could join with to pursue this very vision. And so she would be delighted to talk to you and to your audience, the ladies out there. The ladies are all wanting security. They want their nest. They want their security. They want to know that they're all right.
Right.
They kind of have a hard time getting a hold of the woman's heart, turning her nest. But therefore, she needs to be assured that she is in a safe place and can raise her children and protect her husband.
Amen. We clearly, and a lot of people don't know it. The last proverb talks about women and what they should be, and people should go read that. I think a lot of men. We have a society that treats women are just treated different, so to speak. And if they would look into the proper role, people talk about, old-fashioned and things like that. But if you really look into the proper role of what a woman is to her household, I think it would really amaze you. If you read that proverb, I think that you will be really surprised. And it's not one of suppression by any means. I can't function without my other half. She makes it possible for me to do the things that I do. She frees so much up by the things that she does. She is a light in our household and to our family and to our ministry. And so, amen. Big one out there for the women. Thank you for the women. Thank you, Father, for creating them. Anyway, back to you, brother. We got about 5 minutes left or six. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I guess the next thing I'd just like to just mention is to see how your audience responds to this and hear this. Is it time to go underground? The underground church movement is something that I see needed in this time. Can we save our nation? I doubt it. If we really are on the very cusp of the tribulation period, and we haven't always seen it for the last 50 years of our nation going down. It would take 50 years by the same scale to revive it and restore it. But we don't have 50 years. We may not have 5 years. I don't know. But so the chances of saving our nation are greater. The probability of getting worse is there. So and what is the chances we're going to save the church? We see the churches asleep. We see the churches falling away. We see churches going into more error than ever. not all, but it's out there. And so what I'm saying is, when there might well be a time in the very near future when it will be necessary for the church to go underground in order to be able to continue to minister and to save lives and bring people to Christ. Have you got any thoughts on that?
I got a lot of thoughts on it. Number one, I believe right now, I don't believe in the future. I believe that right now. Here's the thing, folks. If you're in a church and that church isn't openly using the Bible and reading out of it instead of just one man talking, if you don't get to put your two cents in some manner or another, because the scripture says some bring a psalm, some bring this and bring that. They bring that to the church. If you're not, if it isn't group participation, if your church is just endlessly working on how to make better social programs, bigger churches, and so on and so forth, instead of outreaching, number one outreach of the church should be saving souls, and by default, they should be taking care of the poor. That's utmost. If they're not doing those things, and if your pastor is closed to all these thoughts, if they're not talking about Bible prophecy, if they're talking about flying out of there, you should do what many people across this country are doing. They're coming out of the church. They're starting with home churches with their families. They're hooking up with other families. And the church is already going underground to an extent. You want to be the last person and unprepared. You need to get together with like-minded people that talk about the Word. And I mean, and have more than one person's input. I don't mean somebody being a dictator over all of it, but the body of Messiah needs to come together. And if the church building people won't change, then you need to change and you need to get out of there. You need to leave and you need to get out of there. If your church isn't speaking out against the atrocities and all the bad things that are going on, then you need to get out of the church. If your church isn't encouraging you to vote, then you need to get out of the church. If your church isn't encouraging you to speak against homosexuality and all those other things instead of welcoming in, then you need to get out of the church. And so, Ken, I feel real strong about that. We got about 2 minutes left. Back to you.
It's just some more parting thoughts. If you want to know what a church service is supposed to look like, the only real glimpse that I know of, that I'm aware of, is 1 Corinthians 14. As you were mentioning a quote out of 1 Corinthians 14. There you see the inside of the actual church service itself. Now, that was a real eye from the 1 Corinthians 14. And if you want to know what the model for the church is, read the book of Acts, the entire book of Acts, and then look around and see if you've ever in your entire life seen an Acts model church in operation. These are things that will help you.
Yeah, amen. Bring together, I totally agree.
A home church, a home fellowship that looks like 1 Corinthians 14. A ministry that looks like the book of Acts.
Amen.
This is the sort of thing the end time church needs, especially when we're on the very cusp of the tribulation period.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are so many people that I've talked to on radio that say that when that time comes, that the church will be living just like the book of Acts. But the church needs to wake up if they're going to do that, because you're just going to wake up and everything is going to be changed. Well, Ken, tell them where your website's at and any final words. You've got about a minute.
Okay, day late and dollar short just won't work. We need to be practicing Acts model now and 1 Corinthians 14 now. And be supposed to be now so that we are established and in place. That's a strong words of wisdom there. And my website is Arkhaven. Just think of Noah's Ark and just think of it being a haven. And so it's Arkhaven, A-R-K-H-A-V-E-N .org. And my name is Ken Updegrove. And let's get on the website. You'll see a contact page where you can write to me or call me.
Amen. Folks, and do get a hold of Ken. Ken, I really appreciate you being on, and Talk to your wife. We're going to do that program soon. I'll send you some dates, but send me an email. Let me know. But we got to say goodbye for now. You be blessed, brother, as I know that you are. Goodbye and shalom to you.
Shalom.
All right, folks. That was Ken Uptegrove from Ark Haven Ministries. Go over there and check out his website, and we'll bring his wife on and talk to her sometime here soon when we can twist her arm and get her into a day. Well, we don't really twist her arm anyway, but pray about it. Pray about if you are in the place that you're supposed to be at. That includes whether you're at the church or in a job or wherever it's at. You should be where the Father wants you to be instead of being someplace that makes you miserable or isn't prosperous for your family and for your walk. But, folks, really, we need you to pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. If you enjoy these radio programs or you get something out of it, pray about supporting what we do, because that's the only way that we exist. We must remember there is only one God. That is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Always, 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 I can't say it too many times, always be a blessing to who? Yourself? No, others, others. Lord our God, Father, you King Universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.